T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And he's like, John Lynch, you got to understand, as a player, and he started laying out some examples. He goes, this is a guy who went to the Pro Bowl one year, and he goes, ask Lorenzo Neal. In the Pro Bowl the one year where he laid the wood on you, and people are like, John, what are you doing? He goes, I don't know any other speed. Like, in the Pro Bowl, he's talking about laying the wood on you. Right. Laser putting you on Front Street on national television.
I think the other way around, I kind of laid the wood on John Lynch.
So, that's not the case they were making yesterday. Is Glazer false report? Is that fake news?
Jay was probably drunk. He couldn't see.
On a morning show?
Yeah. I mean, probably my least one at the
Hawaii.
Pro Bowl. At Hawaii. Yeah, not in the okay. Easy. Not in a morning show, but definitely in Hawaii.
He brought you up. Yeah. You're showing up everywhere. Your name keeps surfacing in all these conversations now. It's great.
Yeah, I can tell you where the bodies are, too.
Let's go to the billions. You want to bring the billions in?
Let's do it.
Let's start with Nick in Berkeley. Nick's been on hold for a while. Nick, thank you for your patience. Welcome to the show. Your thoughts on yesterday's game?
Man, I thought that it was an awesome game, man. And then a lot of people were ripping Garoppolo, but I was like, that's just terrible. But the main thing was that I didn't think we were supposed to run or pass. We drafted a punter in the first round. That's my main point. I thought we should have pinned him down with the 6 minutes left and let our defense go to work, because we were stuffing them. We were stopping them and, you know, put a lot of pressure on their quarterback, man, to make plays down in their own side of the field, man, deep. And then, you know, you're battling for field position at that point. So, you know, then we give, you know, Robbie Gould another shot. You know, if we pin him deep, maybe we get a good punt return, or maybe even block it if they're kicking out of their end zone. But I just thought, man, that we definitely got kind of caught up in that little going for it on fourth down, and we should have just chipped it down there and let our defense go to work, because they were prowling yesterday, man.
Interesting. Interesting thought. Very conservative approach.
Don't you think is Sala not getting enough heat here then? Because you had 6 minutes. You're still okay. You went for it. But you're on their 40-yard line, 38-yard line, and you're supposed to have this big, bad defense, and you let them eat up 6 minutes? So is that not
– I think this is one of those shows where we're going to – because we're a sports talk show, we're on for 4 hours, we're going to nitpick everything. That's what we do, because we love the game and we love talking about the game. So that's what we're going to do today. I don't really think there's a lot of blame to go around. I don't think you really blame Kyle Shanahan. I don't think you blame Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think you blame the offense or the defense or Robbie Gould. I think there were some mistakes. There wasn't perfection, but I don't think we're coming in here looking for a lot of blame. Saleh's defense was huge in that game. Baltimore was held to just 20 points. I think that was their lowest output of the season. So you went into their house, held them to their lowest output, and take a listen to these splits. All right, first 17 minutes of the game. So the first quarter and then 2 minutes into the second quarter, the Ravens ran 22 plays for 129 yards and scored 14 points. Okay, they had the ball for 10 minutes and 58 seconds of those 17 minutes. They were dominating the game, 5.86 yards per play. For the remaining 43 minutes of that game, after they put their 14th point up, 43 more minutes, they ran 40 plays for 154 yards. That's 3.8 yards per play. They only scored 6 points and they had the ball for 21 minutes. That defense battened down the hatches for the last 43 minutes. Most people are focusing on the second half. They're saying, well, look at how they held them in the second half. Look at how they held them after they got outside the first quarter. After the Ravens put up their 14th point, it was a completely different story. So, no, I wouldn't put any blame on Saleh or the defense. Sure, they could have gotten a stop. But then it takes me back to the 4th-and-1. You got to convert. Offense has got to make some plays in that game, too. You only hung 17.
Right, and if you look at all of the big plays in the game, ultimately that 4th-and-1 call where Jimmy G's pass gets batted down, you can look at that two ways. You can say, oh, it was the wrong call. Niners need to make a play. Or you look at a Ravens defense that made a play.
Yeah.
You tip your cap to one of the best 5 defenses in the NFL playing at home. They had a play that needed to be made, and they made it. So sometimes it's not as simple as, well, Saleh's got to be blamed because then they gave up the drive that cost him the game, or Robbie Gould's blamed because he didn't make that kick, or Jimmy G for the one fumble. There was a bunch of plays in that game, and ultimately Baltimore made one or two more plays than you did.
It's like those Patriot-Giants Super Bowls. It's almost like every Patriot Super Bowl, because they always tend to be within one score. They're good games. They're really good games, and you can go through some of the mistakes that were made, but no one's going to play a perfect game. You don't want anyone playing a perfect game. If you get a perfect game, that means it's probably 63-0, and it was Clemson running wild on insert ACC opponent here, right? Yeah. Like that yesterday, teams are going to make mistakes. You learn from winning in the margins. There were small margins for error yesterday. The Niners just made a couple additional mistakes than the Ravens. The Ravens weren't perfect in that game.
No, the Ravens fumbled the ball. Lamar Jackson
what
going in the
score. What a play by Marcell Harris.
That play was freaking awesome.
That game ends if the Ravens are marching down
They're
the field
marching.
In the third quarter there.
He might have – and he was going to – because that wasn't a tackle. He just happened to jump Marcell and just pull the ball. If he doesn't tackle him, he's going to pick up another, 10? 50, I don't know.
Either way, they're in the going red zone. In. Either way, they're going in for the score.
So
they were marching.
That was a huge chain of events. That was a huge by the defense. I thought this was a very, very even match team. I thought it was very competitive. And both teams made mistakes. And both teams capitalized. Jimmy G, and that's another thing that we talk about a lot, the turnovers. It's when do they come? Those are some of the things that, I know we'll talk about it later, but sometimes when they happen, the turnovers, when they happen, it changes momentum of the game. And at times, those are some of the things that you don't focus on. You don't think that's a big deal early, but later on, after you go back to the box score and you look at it, you're like, man, we could have just got that one. I think we magnify the 4th-and-1 because of the fact when it was at the game, at the last 6 minutes. So we take that and say, man, that was the game. No, and you could take something that happened in the first quarter, could have been the game as well. So it's just interesting how our perspective, like we talk about,
that's smart.
You know, changes
smart
the way the game is.
Same thing in basketball. We'll focus on the final 3 minutes in the decision-making, but what about when you went down 12 in the opening quarter? No one ever goes back to the first quarter and talks about it. It's always the stuff that's highlighted late.
Right.
That's an excellent
right.
point. Garoppolo yesterday, and I know there's a lot of people that want to weigh in on this, so we'll get to the Garoppolo grade and we'll talk about the performance. I want to bring one thing up. People are going to highlight the fumble, which led to the touchdown. He's trying to do too much there. Sometimes he's just got to go down, and he's trying to get that extra yard. He's getting hit from all sides. You got to be smart with the body. You got to be smart with the football. That fumble ended up costing them 7. It was a big part in the game, and a lot of people are going to highlight that. Just remember something. The guy's a gambler. I don't mean that literally like the kid Shaw from Arizona who just got banned for a year for actually gambling on NFL games. I don't know what he was thinking, but that's the same guy from USC who said he jumped out of the window to save the kid who was drowning in the pool, and then it turned out he was just trying to flee the party. Remember that kid at USC?
Yeah.
The whole thing. Like, that guy, whole thing. Anyway, I'm not saying Garoppolo's a gambler in that sense. I'm talking about the Brett Favre gunslinger sense, okay? You can get upset with that fumble, but you can't get upset with the fumble and then celebrate the touchdown that he threw to Deebo Samuel on 4th-and-2. Because if you don't want the fumble, you don't get the touchdown. That's a gamble. There are good gambles that work out, and there are bad gambles that don't. If you don't want the guy who fumbles the ball there, you don't get the guy who throws that touchdown pass. That means you get Alex Smith. And if you're okay with Alex Smith, fine. You can roll with that. I want the guy who's going to take the risk. Because ultimately, in the Super Bowl, in the NFC Championship game, in the playoffs, you're going to need some risk. You're going to need the guy who can lay the cojones on the line and make the big play. I thought he was nuts throwing that ball on 4th-and-2 at the beginning of the game. What is he doing? In the rain, throwing it down the field. Deebo makes an incredible play on the ball and they score a touchdown. But you don't get that without the other stuff.
You're right.
That's the gambler. The safe quarterback is Alex Smith. He's the guy that won't fumble the ball like Garoppolo. He also doesn't throw the touchdown pass.
Yeah, I think that you're oversimplifying it a little bit because I'm all for Jimmy G gambling, but it's when there's pressure and when he's going to be sacked, having increased ball security, because you're starting to see it on the regular where it's pretty, I don't want to say it's easy to take the ball from him, but in those situations, we've seen it now 6 or 7 times where the ball just comes out. I don't know if it's one hand on or if the two-hand ball security is not good enough, but it's a problem for me. And I know what you're saying about him being a gambler. You're right, because he hangs in there. He takes pops. He makes big-time throws. I would just like to see his ball security be a little bit more buttoned
up. He's gotten a lot. I'm comfortable with this guy. I think he can put a game-winning drive together. He's
hey
showing
now.
He can.
Hey now.
I'm
this is breaking news.
I'm comfortable with this guy, but to your point about the fumbles, though, he's got to cut down. And I understand he's a gambler, but the thing is, every team now, from here on out, is say, go get the ball.
Yeah.
He's going to give it. So you got to realize, teams are practicing for Jimmy G. They are doing, I've been there, seen in guys that when on my day, they were saying, hey, the guy will put the ball on the ground. Defenders, they're practicing. They're doing extra, get the ball out. And they, on the sideline, guys, we told you he'll give you the ball. Jimmy G's got to change the way people view him, because they do view that this guy will turn the ball over. That is the narrative around the National Football League.
Tendencies and scouting reports.
Yep.
Very good point. This is a Monster Monday brought to you by Benjamin Moore Paints. Paint like no other. And Dolan's Lumber, Doors, and Windows. back to the billions. 888-957-9570. Let's go to Manuel on the Dunbarton Bridge. Manuel, welcome to the show. What are your thoughts on yesterday's game?
Good morning, fellas. Happy belated Thanksgiving. I just want to chime in on a couple of things that you guys were talking about that I want to emphasize on my points. Yep, he's a gambler, all right. But you know what? Good gamblers, good quarterbacks that gamble, pick and choose when the time to do it. You don't do it 20 yards away from your own end zone and cough up the ball and give up those points. I mean, you're looking at his turnover. No. You're looking at his turnover and the missed field goal and the defense playing outstanding, and I'm looking at a Seattle game or am I looking at a Baltimore game? I mean, you guys brought up the 4th-and-1 call a couple of times. You know what? He did not execute. It wasn't a bad call. It wasn't a risky call. It wasn't, should we have punted? That's not on Shanahan. That's on Jimmy G not executing that play properly. I guarantee it, because you know what? You mentioned it. On that 4th-and-2 touchdown pass, it was easy. It could have easily been picked off. Those are the kind of things that are frustrating me about Jenny G. And if he don't clean it up, this is going to be a wasted season. I guarantee it, man. Clean up your act, get to the playoffs, bring in the ring. You just got to stop gambling, or at least gamble when the time calls for it. Just like the defense. Guys, if you want to lay a lick on the quarterback, do it on the other side of the 50. Okay? That's all I got, fellas. Have a good morning.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. Very hot, very bothered coming off the game. Remember, you're 10-2. Your two losses have come against very good football games, very good football teams in close games with game-winning field goals.
Nice.
Can't say that if you're the Patriots. Patriots had their pants pulled down last night. Anyone
wow.
see that?
Pants
yeah.
on
By
the ground.
By the Houston Texans.
Pants on the ground.
Houston, they had their pants pulled down last night. Brady's on the sidelines talking about how they couldn't do anything out there. There were some glory stats at the end of the game that make that one look closer. I've watched Seattle get beat by 14 at home. I watched Seattle almost lose to Cincinnati at home. I've watched the Packers get smacked up. I've watched the Saints get smacked up. I've watched the Chiefs get smacked up. I saw the Chiefs lose at home on Sunday night to the Colts, who lost again yesterday. Point being, if you're going to lose some games, you're 10-2. The only reason there's even a semblance of panic is because your 10-2 isn't an NFC East 10-2. It's the Saints already wrapped up their division.
Yeah.
The problem is that you're upset because you're 10-2, and if the Seahawks as 3-point favorites win tonight, you are now the 5 seed in the playoff chase.
Which is remarkable, because if Seattle wins, Lo, you'll have 5 teams at 10-2, and I'll do the research if and when that happens to see when the last time that was where you had 5 teams at 10-2 or better after week 12. You don't often see.
You're talking about in one conference.
In one league.
The whole NFL?
Baltimore and New England are 10-2. You got the Saints, the Niners are 10-2, and Seattle's 9-2. So do you remember a time where we had a league where you had 5 teams that were 10-2 after week 13?
Great, great, great trivia question.
And I think, you know, someone will do the homework for us, 888-957-9570.
Yeah, we're not doing it.
You know, nice guy Steven and our crack staff in the back working feverishly on this
show.
Steven's
busy as he does the show for an hour now by himself, and then he becomes Lo's intern. Lo has him turning on the computer, and I caught that. I know you do it in hushed tone so that no one hears you ordering that young man around.
Whoa.
I see it. I see how you treat those people.
Whoa.
They're beneath you. And you know what? If I were you, I'd treat him like that, too.
No, no, no.
He is beneath you.
No, no, no. Steven.
Don't talk about that.
Steven, tell him. I'll
talk about that, Jim.
Phenomenal relationship. We
really?
Talk. Oh, yeah. He'll tell you.
How many siblings does he have?
Nah, he's got his brother. Me and his brother talk. His brother loves
Good call.
Me, too. Yeah, and his mom, the queen. They all love me. Steven and I,
his mom, the queen.
His mom, the queen. She is British.
Ballpark.
Steven.
She's a queen. Steven. She may not be the queen.
Whoa. Stibbs. Settle down. That's all, Steven. You should have said, "Lo, I got your back," and you should have left it alone. You could have came in and shut all this down.
No, he's done. He's done. He did his hour, and he turned your computer screen on for you. So he's good. He's good till noon. Back to the phones.
Yes, please. 888-957.
The billions coach.
9570. Marcus in Stockton. Marcus, welcome to the show. What'd you think about yesterday's game?
Dave Wong's Chinese.
Oh, I thought it was a wonderful game. How you guys doing?
I'm thinking about Chinese food. Oddly, now all of a sudden, thanks, Lo. Have you been to Dave Wong's Chinese?
No. Now, the thing about yesterday's game, if that's a Super Bowl preview, I want more of that. For the simple fact that these two teams mirror each other defensively and offensively as far as their offensive philosophy. And this would make a great heavyweight fight. Now, as far as yesterday's loss, there was 2 4th-and-1 plays that kind of ticked me off. The first one was in the first half. Even though the 49ers were in their own territory, Baltimore doesn't take any plays off. They shouldn't have punted on that 4th-and-1. They should have went for it. And then the last 4th-and-1, the one that everybody's talking about, if they're going to pass, they should have did it out of a run formation. They should have had everybody up on the line. They should have had everything considered on the table.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. I got it right here. Dave Wong's restaurant.
I can't believe he's from Stockton. Because you say Dave Wong's, everyone living in Stockton, they know Dave Wong's, and they know Dante Pizza. Those are the two, I guarantee.
I think he was calling up looking to talk about the Niners, okay. And at the last second, someone throws a Chinese restaurant at him, and he's just kind of like,
he was a bit
of a knuckleball.
Yeah,
he was 0-1 in the count. He didn't see it coming, and then he was ready to get back into it.
You set him down. I set him down with that. He missed.
Yeah. Who would have thought you call a sports talk radio station to talk about the Niners, and someone hits you with Dave Wong's Chinese?
And that's all he said. It was three words, Dave Wong's Chinese. Dave Wong is Chinese. Dave Wong's Chinese. I can see where the caller was a little bit flummoxed, especially after such a big game. You know, everyone's dialed in on that Niner-Raven game, and to have a curveball thrown of that stature.
I miss you guys. I'm glad.
What did you think about the 4th-and-1 situation? Dave Wong's Chinese.
I miss you so much, Joe. I really miss y'all so much this couple of days. I'm really, really excited about having this great show today.
Had a leg for young yesterday. It was really good. But, Joe, the other 4th-down call, what did you think about that when they punted Wisnowski 4th-and-1 from their own 39, 6 minutes to go in the second quarter? I didn't have a problem with it.
It's fine. There was a lengthy feeling out process between both teams in that game. They got a little bit aggressive early. I think they put more points up than people realized early on, but then everyone settled in. The Niner defense settled in. We've seen this before. The Rams game, the Tampa Bay game, there have been the Arizona games. The team will get on you early. They settle in. They do their job. The offense has to find its way. It's fine. Everything about that game was beautiful. It was a beautiful football game yesterday. If you are a fan of football and you watched that game and you didn't like what you saw, then you are not a fan of football. I hate to break that to you. I'm starting to wonder whether or not I want to see this rematch in the Super Bowl if the opportunity presents itself. If I'm stepping back purely from an entertainment standpoint, I'm all in for it. But if I'm a diehard Niner fan and I want to win the Super Bowl, I don't know if I want to see them. I think I might want to see someone else. The only thing, in my opinion, that's really going to slow down the Ravens is the inevitability of Lamar Jackson getting hurt. He takes too many shots. The Niners were putting the wood on him yesterday. He plays like a running back, and he's going to take a lot of abuse. How many running backs are getting hurt on a regular basis out there? You played the position, you know. Yeah. He is taking too many shots to be a marquee quarterback. Now, if I'm the Ravens, I'm going all in with them to try to get at least one Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson is not going to be a 10-year quarterback, though, unless he changes his style. And changing his style could be detrimental. Don't compare him to Russell Wilson. Don't compare him to some of these other guys. He takes too many hits, and that's part of the beauty of his game. How can you not like watching Lamar Jackson play football? He's exciting. He's exuberant. He's tough. He's productive. He continues to shut up all these naysayers that wanted him to move to wide receiver. It was his mother who said, you're not moving. You're staying at quarterback. And everyone criticized him. Why don't you get professional help? Why are you listening to your mother? Well, it's working out pretty well for the guy. He's in a great situation, and he is an exciting player. But I don't know if I want to see him again. Because I'm going to tell you, he's dangerous. He's extremely dangerous.
Dangerous.
Even when you know you need to seal the edge, this guy's getting past you. If he's doing that to you in the run game, do you know he has 4 100-yard rushing games this season? He's got 5 for his career. In the modern era of the Super Bowl, there's only one quarterback who's got more 100-yard performances. His name is?
Michael.
Michael Vick. Very
Michael
nice.
Michael Vick. Yeah. And this guy's going to shatter.
Vick did it 10 times.
And he's going to shatter. He's going to obliterate it.
He's only 56 yards shy, I want to say, of beating Vick's all-time record for rushing yards by a quarterback in a season. I had it somewhere. I got notes for days.
I think he already outrushed Vick in the season already. I mean,
Vick's record-breaking season.
Okay.
Vick's all-time record, where is it? Okay. Jackson is currently at 977 rushing yards, 63 behind Michael Vick's best season. So if you want to be the all-time leader as a quarterback rushing in a season, he needs 63 more yards. Pretty sure he'll get it.
Probably this week.
Pretty sure he'll get it. Who do they have this
Buffalo,
week?
Baby. On the road, man. Orchard Park. It's a huge game.
That's getting real in my house.
That's going to be a game.
Impossible letdown spot for Baltimore coming off of such a massive game against the Niners. And you have to go to Buffalo and play in probably another sloppy, snowy field.
They've won 8 straight. I don't know if there's a letdown spot for them.
There ain't no letdown. Now you're the number one seed. You're the number one seed.
You're the hunted.
Buffalo's smelling blood in the water, though, Buffalo's with what New England's doing.
Buffalo's playing
And that
great.
Was your call, by the way, to win the AFC East before the start of the year. I still have the predictions right here.
8-1.
Buffalo's playing.
8-1.
To win the Super Bowl?
Buffalo is 8-1 to win the division.
Oh, wow.
to win the division before the season started. A little bit of gravy on that turkey for you right there. That is brought to you by, where are we at here? What's coming up on the game is sponsored by Cresco Equipment Rentals. Now, there's a lot to get to with the sequence that played out at the end of the first half. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to more of your calls. Alex Boone, always brilliant to talk to the day after a game. He's coming in hot. He's coming up next. Starting a home improvement project can be intimidating. When you go to a Cresco Express location, they will help you find the right tools and show you how to use them. If you need it, Cresco's got it. For more information, go to CrescoRent.com. That's CrescoRent.com.
Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
Big Fish Dinner
on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome to the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, our Christmas-bound listening audience. Happy holidays. Great to have you with us today. And there's great news on top of all that. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. The topic of conversation is an obvious one. It's the Niners, it's the Ravens, and everything in between. Jerry Rice will join us at 8:40 to talk about that and more. But right now we go to the Dialpad guest line. Former Niner offensive lineman, 95.7 The Game football insider Alex Boone joining the show. Alex, it's always a pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving. Tell me about yesterday's game. If you were still in the NFL, do you like that sort of game, playing in the slop, the physicality of two elite teams going toe-to-toe like that?
Absolutely. A total slugfest. I mean, you talk about a game that just lived up to the hype, and two really strategic game when you come down to it. I mean, it just was everything I thought it was going to be.
Raheem Mostert, 19 carries, 146 yards, his first 100-yard day. Everyone wants to look at the running back and say, wow, what a breakout performance. But how about the O-line and George Kittle creating all those holes?
Absolutely, and I'm glad you said George Kittle, too, because I think tight ends at block go unrecognized, and I think he does a great job of it, and he was really giving that defense a whole handful of problems. But to me, watching him block and those tackles block and getting Raheem on the outside was just amazing, and then their poor tackling, too. You know, there's so much that goes into that game, and it's a sloppy game, so you know going in you're going to have to be physical up front. You know you're going to have to run the ball, because there's going to be times where you throw the ball and it's not going to work out. So they really stepped up to the challenge, and the depth of this team is really showing.
It really is, Alex, and that's why when you saw Raheem able to get to the perimeter, hammer down, bowler up. He's a bowler maker, played with my son there in Purdue. But when you look at guys like that, running backs especially, why is it that they can get to the outside and you usually see defenders slide by them and it turns into an arm tackle, the one-on-one? What is it about? Is it the weather? And how much is it an advantage for especially running backs of that magnitude?
Oh, it's huge. And I think a lot of it has to do with the weather, but I think a lot of it has to do with nowadays business decisions. And you see it and I see it. There's guys out there in the corners that are like, listen, man, I'm making a business decision for me, not for the team. And
sure,
you see it. And it upsets me too, because at the end of the day, it takes all 11 guys to stop them. That's why Baltimore is so effective, is because when they run their quarterback, everybody else is blocking. You don't have a business decision to make. You're protecting the quarterback at all times. So when they're out there, they're all out there. When you watch some of these defenders, man, what is going on with tackling these days? It has really fallen off.
Bad.
Alex Boone joins the show. A couple plays that have come into debate on radio shows like this today. Fourth and one, about 6 minutes to go. Niners are driving. They're on the fringe of field goal range, but given the conditions and Robbie Gould's struggles this season, they're going to opt away from that. They go for it. They call timeout. They line up in shotgun. Garoppolo's pass is tipped at the line of scrimmage. Ravens take the ball. They march down the field. They win the game with the Justin Tucker field goal. Do you agree with the decision to go for it, and do you agree with the decision to line up in shotgun and try to throw it in that situation?
This is what I'm going to say. I'm not going to go against Kyle, because he's been doing a great job all year, and we've always said this, stick to the game plan. I think that there's times where you see things as a coach, maybe you see things as a player, and you're like, hey, listen, I know this doesn't seem like the logical answer, but this is what we should do. And everyone's in agreement. I think that any play has a chance to score. So to come back and be like, oh, you shouldn't have thrown it, you should have run it. Listen, hindsight's 20/20, and there are a lot of games we could look back on and go, man, I wish I would have, but we can't. So going forward, we say, hey, we're going to learn from this, and we're not going to do that again.
What about the game operation toward the end of the first half, where they took their time and they wanted to milk the clock, and ultimately they settled for a field goal try that did not result in points? Do you think they should have been a little bit more eager, a little bit quicker with the play set, or were you happy with the way they time managed?
I'm not going to say I was happy, but I'll say that I completely understand what he was doing. When you look at that offense for the Ravens, man, they can control the clock, and they can do it at will. They're a really good team. In Kyle's mind, he probably went back and said, hey, listen, we're going to control this ball all the way until we can't. Okay, so we're going to run this clock down as far as we got to go. And I agree, there's a lot of time was wasted. But when you're looking at it, you say, hey, they didn't give Lamar Jackson the ball back, and they didn't score. So going in, listen, we kicked the field goal. We didn't make it. We're upset about that, but they didn't score. That's the main thing.
How different is this game played in weather conditions doesn't play a factor?
I'm so glad you said that, because had you played this on like a 65 and sunny or 65 and cloudy night, man, that game goes different. And you know it, and I know it.
Those a lot more teams, physical too, right?
Absolutely. And you're talking about two teams that were just out there in the muck and the rain and the cold weather, and you know what it's like to play out there. That ball slides a lot differently. So when you're talking about a game with that's a completely fair advantage for everybody in a neutral site, now that's exciting.
Alex, a lot of people are hoping that this is a Super Bowl preview and that these two get together in Miami in February. Let's assume for a second that that does happen. The fact that they played once already, is that an advantage for the Niners having seen Lamar Jackson, or is it an advantage for the Ravens knowing how the Niners want to defend Lamar Jackson?
I think it's an advantage for the Niners, and this is why I say that. I say that because there's a lot of plays, if you go back and look, and you know me, I'm the biggest Robert Saleh fan in the world. The world. But when you're looking at this defense, you have to account for the quarterback. How many times did he take it on the edge and there was nobody there? Nobody there. There has to be a linebacker at all times that accounts for him. When I used to play in Greg's offense, the one thing that could stop us was if you attacked the mesh point of the quarterback and the running back and had a linebacker flow outside at all times, no matter what, it always stopped us in that offense.
Does it make it harder to get to the mesh point when you've got Lamar Jackson so quick and so able to get to the outside? Because it seemed to me that the Niners tried to do exactly what you're saying, but he was just too quick to the outside.
I think there is, but there's times where you just got to go. Sometimes you just have to be hell-bent. I mean, there are times when I think back to the Super Bowl, and I remember thinking of T-Sizzle, and I remember the entire first half, he kept wrecking everything because he was on a mission. I don't care what happens. I remember polling for him. And after the first like two series, we were like, all right, we're going to have to change everything because he's just going upfield right at the mesh point. And it's making it hard for everybody because, number one, the quarterback doesn't know whether to hand it or take it. And number two, he's just going in there and tackling everybody. At one point, he tackled me. I was like, dude, what is going on? That's how you stop these plays, because there's so much chaos that the quarterback goes, I don't even know what to do.
No question. And you, let's talk about a guy like Kittle. You talked about his ability to run, block, and all those things. In different weather, do you just think that this – what would he have been more effective or less effective, especially in different weather?
I think that a lot of this going forward is going to be, what does the defense try to shut down, yeah, right? Are they going to try and shut down the run game? And we've talked about this. That's easy to say. It's hard to do. It's because you got to show up at the end of the day and do that. Or are they going to go and they're going to say, hey, listen, we can't let Kittle get going, because when he gets going, this offense takes off to new heights because he's excited. He's excitable in the huddle. All of a sudden, the offense, though they probably don't think that they have a chance, is now excited and ready to roll. And that's the one thing that I think defenses going forward are going to say, hey, stop Kittle at all costs.
Alex Boone joining us here on 95.7 The Game. What did you think about Jimmy Garoppolo's performance yesterday?
I thought he did well. And more importantly, I thought the offensive line held up well. And in a tough environment, in a rainy game where there's a lot of factors going in, I saw what their defensive plan was. They're going to keep trying to wrap linebackers around and get the offensive line in trouble. But I think Jimmy did good. You know, the fumble obviously is going to hurt you, but you know, it's a tough game, man. I can't tell you how hard it is when it's raining and you're like, man, this is chaotic as all hell out here.
49ers able to generate just one sack. Nick Bosa was largely missing, in my opinion, in much of the action. What did you attribute to the neutralizing of the defensive line, particularly Nick Bosa?
It's the way they run this offense. You don't know what the play is. You know, all these fakes, at some point, you don't know if he's going to run it. Is he going to throw it? Is he going to hand it? Is he going to pitch it? I mean, you're like, dude, I don't know what's going on. So you say, hey, listen, this week we are trying to contain the problem. We're not trying to destroy everything. At times as a defensive end, when you're unblocked, yes, you need to go tackle everybody. But when you're pass rushing, we need to contain him because we don't want him running around the field making things look way easier.
When you assess this 49ers team after Sunday, I know you got to take in the weather and account for as well, but what would you like to see them work on? What are some of the things you say, God, you know what? This team could be a little better if they can take care of that, besides necessarily special teams a goal, because we think he'll get healthier and make those kicks. But what else do you see this team can do some improvement on?
You know what? I love this team. I love them because I see them taking steps, and I see that even though that they don't have their superstars in right spots or they get taken out of the game, other guys step up, and I think that that's the key going forward. When you look at teams that go deep into the playoffs, it has a lot to do with a quarterback and their depth, because players are going to get hurt, and guys are really stepping up. Raheem Mostert stepping up. Maurice last night getting that you know, taking the fumble away from Lamar. You talk about guys that are stepping up in crucial times. That's what you need to do, and they're doing that. Now, I will say this because I wanted to make a point of this. I think the refs had a little bit to do with that game, too. Some of that unnecessary roughing the passer, some of those things, they're becoming a problem again. And to me, that's really taking a lot of the fun out of the defense.
Alex, wow. You're going to get Dibs all worked up in here.
Couldn't disagree more. You know, the flag when they
he
dive.
He loves the officials, Alex.
Thank
dove,
you.
Dove at Lamar Jackson. That was automatic. And how about we highlight the referees picking up the flag on Jimmy Ward for late hit out of bounds. They realize the error of their ways. Let's applaud him for that. What, won't we, Alex?
That was fair. But I'm Thank just you. When you're looking at these guys, you're like, man, these guys have a control of this game that I've never seen before. Like, they're stopping. And you see it in the way defensive backs are playing, the way that guys are hitting quarterbacks now. And even now, guys are hitting them like, dude, we're barely touching them, and you're throwing flags. Like, this is not fair at some point.
Apology accepted, Alex, on behalf of all officials.
Former Niner offensive lineman, 95.7 The Game football insider, Alex Boone, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Great stuff as always, Alex. Thank you so much for your time.
Guys, you're the best. Thank you.
Alex Boone brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. You can always weigh in on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795 to let us know your thoughts on the conversation that's unfolding in front of us. If I perform surgery on you and I leave my watch inside you, then I open you back up and I take the watch out, I'm not going to applaud you.
Wow.
Right? Picking up the flag is the same thing. It's removing the watch from the
You're
the
right,
intestines.
Joe. It's the exact same as putting a watch in somebody after surgery. I will say this. Brad Allen, the white hat referee yesterday, who, by the way, bears an unbelievable resemblance to John Morosi, our very own John Morosi. If you could do a little side-by-side back there for the social media fans.
Don't waste your time on that.
He might have earned himself a Super Bowl berth with that performance. That was an outstanding performance by that crew yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Terrific work.
That was my big takeaway, too.
Stem to stern.
Right at the top.
It's a takeaway.
It is a takeaway, yes. A singular takeaway.
When Brad Allen shows up in the Super Bowl in about 8 weeks' time, just remember this game, and I'm the guy who told you that that's why he earned the assignment.
You're the only guy on earth making a prediction for who will ref the Super Bowl. I love it. Are you locking it up?
Fuck yeah.
All right, remember that.
Brad Allen.
Because if he gets that right, that's actually going to be worth revisiting.
Yes, it will be.
He could be Morosi's twin. I'm telling you.
He
looks just like John Paul.
Predicating that because he looks like Morosi, and that's why.
No, he's a really.
Are you profiling?
He's a solid.
Profiling? Exactly.
Yeah, he's a good young white official. That's what you're saying. Profiling. Thank you. Ballpark.
Number one, are the Ravens the best team in the NFL?
I would say yes.
You have to say yes.
Who would even be in consideration? Obviously, the Niners. Would there be anyone else that you'd sit there and be like, I don't know. It'd be the Ravens or this team.
We did this with Jim Cozumel on, I think it was Wednesday.
Seattle.
We counted back our top five in the power rankings, and I nailed each of those.
Oh, my God. He nailed
no notes, Coach. No notes.
No notes. He named my
Yeah, that's on brand. No notes.
Yeah,
on brand.
Yeah, look, 1-5. It was
pages.
Classic. It was classic.
So wait, you had your top five teams and you called out his top five teams in order?
In order.
That's pretty good.
And that's what Coase was like. What's going on here? Coase, every time he would chime in, not wrong. Dibs would hit the buzzer. No, I don't think so. I was shocked that you had them still.
All comes through the Seattle. That's where the conversation comes from, is because he loves Seattle and he's right to love Seattle. So he would put Seattle probably number two right now.
Did you have the Ravens one last week?
Yes.
Okay, so you're still there. Where are you at?
I put him at number one. I had the Niners at one.
Okay.
And so I had the Niners at two.
Where are the Niners now for you?
Niners still at two.
Still two? Where are the Niners for you?
Niners, I would still have it two.
So they
Absolutely.
Just flipped with the Ravens for
right.
you. It was Niners-Ravens, now you have it Ravens-Niners.
Right.
Okay, so you're still seeing them as the top two teams in the NFL. You saw it that way going into the games this weekend. Now you see it coming out of the game this weekend.
Yeah, right. And the beauty is the Niners will have to play two other top five teams in New Orleans and Seattle over the course of the next four games. So no matter where you rank them, it's all going to get settled on the field in real time.
How do you feel about, if you're a Niner fan, having to root for Kirk Cousins tonight? Like, Kirk Cousins, he's off a bye.
Ooh-wee.
But he's got to be the one that delivers for you tonight, or we wake up tomorrow and the Niners are the 5 seed. They're a 10-2 5 seed.
Wow.
Playing not only on opening weekend, but playing on the road in opening weekend.
Yeah, I think ultimately you root for him, but you know full well that the game against Seattle decides it anyway. Because if you have a one-game lead on Seattle and they beat you again in Week 17, they win the division. So really, as much as you'd love for Seattle to lose, Minnesota then is a factor too at 9-3 as far as them continuing to rise. You got to handle your business if you're the Niners, which means New Orleans, the Rams, Atlanta, and Seattle. You got to win three of the four.
Do the Niners have to win out to get the one seed?
The other day when you were out, Joe, I said that they would beat
13-2. They were not losing again to
After Baltimore.
After Baltimore.
They're going to lose to Baltimore, and then what's going
to
happen?
It's going to come down to Seattle game. They're not going to. They're going to begin Seattle.
They're
going to
beat the Saints, and then they got the Falcons and the Rams. Yep. You see them winning the next three.
Yes.
Here's where it gets interesting, and we're not going to do any Saints preview.
No.
I just want to give you the opening point spread. Remember, back in the summer, there were point spreads given out for every NFL game, weeks 1-16. They keep 17 off because there's a lot of tomfoolery there. Teams can rest. Teams are in playoff positioning, so they give you 1-16. Now, does anyone remember what the look ahead, the summer look ahead, was for the Saints Niners game?
It was 9, I think. Saints by 9 is my guess.
Yeah, I think it was 9.5, but we're right on it. Okay. It was a massive number. Do you know what it is now or where it reopened? If you saw it, let me know, but if you didn't.
I haven't seen it. I would guess the Saints minus 1.5 or 2.
Minus 1.5
or 2. I would say Saints minus 4.
Saints minus 4. Interesting. Yeah. You clearly see a lot of value on the Niners because it opened 3.5 and it got immediately bet to 3. And that's a huge move. That hook is huge. It's the most important half point in all of sports.
I better get on this now.
So you clearly see the Niners. That's big. You see an advantage because if you power rank them as a point dog and you can get the full 3, you like that. There's value there for you.
It will come down.
It's right on your number pretty much, which is pretty smart.
Yeah. Bang on the number.
Yeah, I thought it, this thing's going to get down. Smart money's going to come in, like Joe liked to say. Smart money's going to start coming on the Niners.
Well, once
smart
it goes money, from three
I got
on him
at the
three.
Last minute. Yesterday I'm looking at this and I'm like, I have to bet this game.
Yep.
Early in the week I had written it up that I was going to go with the over, and then the weather became such an issue, I'm like, I'm off the over. But I can't take the under because now I'm just going against what I've already said, and I don't want to be a hypocrite.
Right.
So I'm away from the total, so I was like, I got to find a side. And when it was all said and done, I'm like, I'm the Niners plus the 5.5. Niners plus the 5.5. So shout your boy out. Was on Green Bay 2 yesterday. Also like the Raiders plus 11. That one got away from me pretty early. And Arizona plus 3. Cliff Kingsbury off the bye. Not exactly Andy Reid off the bye. Like, how pathetic was Arizona in that game yesterday?
I understand.
You come off the game and off a bye and you get boated by a team off Monday night in your own building? They lost by like 30.
It was blowout. How about the Jets?
The Sharps, actually, the really smart guys, like Cincinnati. They went in that game. They go, Cincinnati's the play. Dalton's back. You're getting 3. The Jets are going to absolutely lay an egg.
Yeah, I was on the Natty with the old redheaded pistol coming back.
How'd Bo versus Dibs go?
It's a wash again. We're both 8-7 on the week. We both have Seattle. So I will continue to take my 18-game deficit into the last 3 weeks.
Oh, my God. I thought you got up this week because I was off.
This was like Harbaugh versus Ohio State.
This was my worst picks, though, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you weren't great, but you did have Tennessee. I had Indy. Shout out to Jacoby Brissett and company for failing to come through on that one.
They're talking about franchise tagging.
Tannehan, what?
They're going to franchise tag him.
I love the kid.
They're going to give him another year.
Tannehan's back.
Yeah, Tannehan.
You had the Jets. I had Cincinnati. I had Denver. You had the Chargers, but I had New England, and you had Houston. Another great call.
Pick. Really great pick. That's the side the Sharps were on, too. Very nice pick. You guys both had Washington and Miami, I take it. Those were obvious ones. Way to go, Eagles.
Yeah.
10-0 in 28-14.
Why Eagles fly?
And they were winning, too.
28-14, coach.
Like, dude, how could you guys just...
I don't want to talk about it. It's a smart move. They're trying to get better draft position. Anyone who sees that loss as a negative, they're idiots. What would Eskin say? They're dopes. The end of the first half. Everyone has been asking for us to get into this today. The end of the first half. Your thoughts on how Shanahan managed the situation. Here's the scenario. Baltimore is up 17-14. They just had a 13-play, 63-yard drive that took 7 minutes and 14 seconds. It resulted in a Justin Tucker 30-yard field goal. So they lead 17-14. The Niners take the ball at the 25. The kick's down. So it's 1st and 10 on your own 25. There's a 1:58 left, and you've got all 3 timeouts. Baltimore has 2. First play of the drive is a 19-yard run to Raheem Mostert. So just like that, you're out to the San Francisco 44-yard line. You've only taken like 10 seconds off the clock, and you've still got all 3 timeouts. Now, what happens on the next play is a 10-yard completion to George Kittle, but Emmanuel Sanders is called for an illegal block in the back. So this is where it gets to the point where you have to make a decision because you obviously know what you want to do after the 19-yard run for Mostert. So now here's where you're facing. 1st and 20 from your own 34-yard line. So you're still 9 yards plus on this drive. 1st and 20 from your own 34, 1:13 to go, and you've got all 3 timeouts. The next play is a swing pass to Deebo Samuel that goes for 8 yards. It's now 2nd and 12 from the San Francisco 42. You've got all 3 timeouts, but instead of pressing, you huddle up. this is what a lot of people, Charles Davis brought to some of the broadcasts. He thought it was curious that they were huddling up and the clock goes all the way down to 33 seconds before the next play, which turns out to be a Raheem Mostert 16-yard run on 2nd and 12. So you're now 1st and 10 at the Baltimore 42, but there's only 26 seconds left, and you're using your first time out there. Baltimore jumps off sides. We can get into the rest of it. Dibs, I started with Lowe earlier in the show when we talked about this. Your thoughts on how the Niners managed the end of the first half?
I thought that they mismanaged it because you had timeouts, and as soon as you get that 8-yard play to Debo and he's tackled the inbounds, you know you're going to be looking at 2nd and 12, and at that point, you have the opportunity to stop it immediately with a minute 13 to go, stop it 10 seconds in at a minute, or let it run all the way down like they did to where you snap it with 33 seconds. I felt like having all those timeouts, you could have waited a few seconds, called timeout with a minute to go. Now you're still in a situation where you can run the ball again, and if Mostert doesn't get 16 yards, which he ends up getting, you can then have third down, and you could force them to use a timeout, or you could then become more aggressive. I felt like it gave you no real option other than the long field goal.
Okay. Lo, what are your thoughts on the way Shanahan manages? Because they ended up missing a 51-yard field goal.
It was masterful. It was beautiful. I'm not in the same church as Dibs. We're not sitting on the same bench. We're not even in the same parking lot. If you look at the way that you just lined that up and you think about what happened against Seattle, everyone's like, we should have played for a tie. That was the same situation. You don't have to necessarily play for a tie, but in the way he ran operated with the clock with this particular game is the way he should have did the same thing with Seattle. If he did that same thing to Seattle, right now the San Francisco 49ers would have one loss. They'd be freaking 10-1-1, and that's what they would be right now instead of having two losses. When he looked at that, you saw him. They lost yardage. All of a sudden, you know, get the holding call. And then the second time they throw the ball, picks up 8. So now it's 2nd and 12. They get ready to go. They get ready to go up to the line, and Shanahan tells them, go huddle up. Because if he calls timeout right there, it's 2nd down, and they don't get it, now it's 3rd down. Now you still, Baltimore has their timeout. You would still have to punt the ball to Baltimore. He's like, I am not giving the ball to Lamar Jackson. I'm not going to do it. That's why on the 2nd down, they ran it again. They were still just saying, I'm running out the clock. I'm playing conservative. But once he picked up 13, 14 yards and got the 1st down, he said, okay, now I can go for it because now time is on my side. So I like the way he did it. If you would have went up there and didn't get it, that run, that 2nd run, he wasn't going to throw the ball. That's why people were like, oh, well, we had that timeout. If he didn't call that and use that timeout, if he used that timeout, the clock would have stopped. Now Baltimore wouldn't have had, they still would have had their timeouts. I think that it was great that he let the clock run. I like that they huddled up. I thought they handled it well. Goal just got to make that field goal.
Do you think, and you and I are aligned with some of this right here, because I was thinking this yesterday as well, and I'm glad you said it. Do you think what happened at the end of the Seattle game had an effect on this decision-making process?
Absolutely.
Okay, because he was too aggressive, left too much time, gave it back to the Seahawks, and they came down and won it.
Exactly.
You think Shanahan was thinking about that?
And that's why you watch it. He was getting ready. Jimmy G was getting ready to go up to the line and go fast. It's like, no, let's calm down. Let's see if we can win on this down. And then you still have time. You look at it, and I think that Harbaugh has an effect on the game moving forward in these 4th down decisions. I think that affected his thoughts. And, hey, look, they're going for it. We got to match them. I think you're going to start seeing teams looking at the way the Harbaugh and that analytics. He's got an analytics kid from Harvard. They're like, look, when it's 4th down on this side of the ball, this is what we're doing, whether they get it or not. When your defense is that good, sometimes you got to go on it. I like what these teams are starting to do.
All right. There are two issues that stand out to me from what we saw yesterday, and I'm going to be the first one to admit that this is nitpicking. Okay, this is nitpicking. Fully endorse Kyle Shanahan. Understand he, like the rest of us, is not perfect. There will be mistakes here and there. It's easy to criticize the 4th and 1 at the end of the game to throw it. But if that's a completed pass and they get it, we're coming in talking about how brilliant it is to throw it on 4th down when everyone's thinking
we're
wrong.
Talking about the brilliance of the first 4th down when he throws it up for grabs and you get a touchdown. So you can't pray for rain and complain about the mud.
Exactly.
Though.
Exactly.
Amen.
So this is fully admitting nitpicking. But again, we love talking football. We talk Niner football. We're going to talk about every aspect of the game. The two things on that drive that stand out to me is a bit of a concern. Number one, if you were super aggressive against Seattle and now you're not aggressive, like what's going on? Don't change just because of one result. Focus on process, not result. Now, if the end of the Seattle game, you realize that was a flawed process and you changed because of it, good. But if because the outcome in the Seattle game is what got you to change, bad. don't focus on the result, focus on the process. Because if you focus on the process over a long enough sample size, a large enough sample size, you're going to see positive results. You're going to get what you want. Anyone can sit down on a blackjack table drunk, have a 20, and for fun hit and get an ace, and it gives you 21 and everyone laughs at it, right? That's a moonshot. It's a complete moonshot to have that happen. Anyone could pull that off. Just because it's a favorable result doesn't mean your process is correct. So focus on process. So if because the Seattle game, the result is what got him to change his mind, that's what worries me a little bit. If he's changing because of the process, then I'm okay with it. Number two, the play in question is the huddle on second and 12, because then Mostert rips off the 16-yard gain. You're in Baltimore territory. You still got all three timeouts, but now time is working against you. This is all about, there's four elements to this whole thing. How much time is on the clock, how many downs you have, and yardage. Three elements. I'm not going to count the score because it's the end of the first half. At the end of the game, you worry about the score. But those are your three elements that you need to manage. And at that point, time is the most precious of the resources. You've got downs because it's first down, and yardage isn't that big of a deal because you're in Baltimore territory. That was a play in concern. And then what happens on, all right, let me bring this up here. Second and four, Baltimore 36. You've got two timeouts left and there's 15 seconds on the clock. 15 seconds means if you're diligent, you might have two more plays before the field goal. But you should be conservative and realize you might only have one more play. So it's second and four, you can do whatever you want. You want to run? Fine. You pick up 4 yards, you're on the 32, it becomes a 49-yard field goal. Garoppolo drops back and throws a pass down the left sideline. It's a low percentage pass. It sails out of bounds. It's incomplete. It eats up about 5 seconds. So now you're looking at third and four. You still got two timeouts, which now all of a sudden your timeouts don't matter because you've got two. You're not going to be able to run two plays. So you've left one of those out there. That's a mistake. That's a resource you're taking to the half. There's no value on that. If Garoppolo doesn't throw it down the sideline, he should have been working the middle of the field there. You know this as well as anyone. The Ravens are in prevent defense. They're willing to give up the middle of the field. They'll give you concessions there. That's the weak point in the passing game when you're going against a defense like that. They don't want you getting to the outside because they don't want you getting out of bounds to stop the clock. They defend the outside more. That's why you'll see at the end of these games in garbage time, people go, oh, the only thing prevent defense does is prevent winning, because teams will just gash you going down the middle of the field. But that's what they want you to do. They want you throwing the ball over the middle of the field so the clock keeps running. That was the mistake right there. Garoppolo in that situation, which I believe they may have been coming off a Baltimore timeout. They were coming off their own timeout because he had scrambled for 1 yard and set up. It was first and five off the Baltimore penalty. Then Garoppolo scrambles for a yard. It's second and four. Clock stopped. If you worked the middle of the field, you got timeouts. You could have picked up maybe 8 or 9 yards there. That was the one that got me, because Garoppolo throwing it down the left sideline, it was a low percentage play. It was in the rain. If you just dump something off over the middle, there's a chance they're giving you that space. I think you could have gotten more yardage there. That was the one thing I highlight, because the defense is vulnerable down the middle of the field in that situation. Am I wrong?
No, absolutely. They're going to protect the boundary. That's what they're taught to do. And that's why in that particular, in the rain and stuff, just like that play, you got 8 yards with Debo. You put guys, or you just say, okay, I'm doing flares to the sideline. So now what you do, though, because those guys, you're like, bam, you got three receivers to a side. So now you're flooding the zone to that particular side. Those guys are running vertical, running crossing routes. I understand that. On the backside, now you have the running back that's coming across and running a flare screen. So, boom. So, all Jimmy G is looking over there where his three receivers are. That's where they're all moving to. And, bam, the running back checks, and now he just swings. So, now you hit him on the run. Now the DB is in a chase position. Now slip, fall. There's so many things in this type of element that I could have went to that said, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I want to have my running back in bad weather, one-on-one and outside. I want to take away all the guys in the inside, and I want him catching the ball and have opportunity to beat a guy and make him arm tackle. We had Alex Boom on. What did he talk about? The inability, guys don't know fundamental of tackling. Now you put the weather in there, they're going to miss. You saw Lamar Jackson sitting guys down, especially on the perimeter. When you get to the perimeter in wet weather, guys slip. Fall, they don't break down, they can't run full speed. You have a huge advantage to me as an offensive player. So yes, I would have did that, because you still had two timeouts. Look, Goles got to make that kick. They thought he was comfortable in his range. That's what they went for, and he just missed it. I thought Shanahan milked the clock right. If he doesn't pick that 16 yard, think about that, guys. It's still second down and 13, 14. Mostert usually wouldn't pick that up. So he was just saying, getting ready to run that out anyway. So I think that we're looking at this and saying, oh.
You're talking on the second and 12. Second and 12. Yeah,
because
that came after the huddle and they flipped everything.
Right.
Part of the reason you probably get that is because Baltimore's like, all right, these guys are running down the clock.
Exactly.
We'll give up the run. We're not giving up the pass.
That's exactly what the thought process is. So then once it switched, everyone's like, oh my God, now we got to go. And that's Shanahan's, okay, now we got to go. We still got two timeouts. We took the clock, but it flips. Once you get it, he understood. I'm going to take this gamble, but once I flip this, now time won't be on my side. But if he wouldn't have did it, and if he doesn't get that on that, now it's third down. If he only picked up one, it'd have been third and, say, 10.
Third and 11,
so now
yeah.
third and 11. Now what are you doing? You're not throwing the ball in that situation because it's third and 11 because you're going to try to keep the clock and force Baltimore and then Baltimore's going to force you to punt it. So, boom, now you time out again. So now you're still at, 50 seconds? Because you said when that happened, it was a minute and –
You're talking about the Mostert run?
Yeah.
They had huddled before that, so they were down to 33 seconds. He ran that ball, and then they got to the Baltimore 42, and they had 26 seconds
Lowe's
left.
Saying if they would have called timeout after the Debo play, they made it
right
second and 12.
They started that play at first and 13. They run the swing, so let's say it takes eight seconds.
Yeah.
Let's say it's a minute four
minute
to
five.
Go. Minute five to go. You call timeout. Mostert runs, and if he doesn't go for 16 yards, let's say he goes for 3 yards.
59, 58
Baltimore's going to use that timeout because now it's going to be third and nine. You're going to run it again. Baltimore's going to use their last timeout, and you're going to end up punting the ball to them with 45 seconds to go.
Yeah, and now
I take my chances with an elite defense, personally, as opposed to letting it run all the way down, and you're asking Robbie Gould to do something he hasn't done well this year, which is make a long field goal. He's 2 of 8 on field goals over 40 yards. So to settle
He's
for
a problem. I think it's fair to bring that up. You are listening to 95.7 The Game,
it's a KGMZ problem.
FM and HD1 San Francisco, radio.com, sports station, Jerry Rice at 840. We're legal. Go ahead.
That was close.
I think Gould's a problem. He's the weak spot right now. And yesterday he comes up short. It's not so much that. The 4th and 1 at the end of the game, they didn't want to trot him out there.
They couldn't.
They didn't want to take the shot. Baltimore has no problem putting Justin Tucker out there for a 49-yarder. That's because he's the best in the business. Robbie Gould used to be like that. He's not anymore. This is an issue. Special teams are starting to become an issue for the Niners. And when we're talking about winning in the margins,
right,
these tight games, that could be the difference between the win and advancing and losing and going home.
0 for 4 on kicks more than 50 yards, and he's 2 of 4 from 40 to 49. So 2 of 8, Lowe, on kicks longer than 39 yards. That's not acceptable. That's not good enough. So for me, if I'm in the end of the half and I know Baltimore is going to get the ball to start the third quarter, I'm going to be a little bit more aggressive to try to get inside the 30-yard line to give Robbie Gould a chance into the win.
I wouldn't take those chances. I wouldn't. I'm on a different, you guys. I totally understand what you guys are saying. But you got to go through this and look at it several different ways. One is, if you give Lamar Jackson, they're going to get the ball back like you alluded to in the second half. You got 45 seconds left. Now you're asking Wisnowski to punt in the slippery weather, wind, into the wind, all the different things. Ball could get up and it's going to die. It's not going to get any roll. You're going into the wind. It's not going to get any roll. So
Mitch
now
is bankable. You're fine.
So and you have opportunity for return. The guys are sliding. They're running down in their lanes. You got a chance for even a bigger return. I just don't like it. I like what he did. And let's just talk about the field goal kicker. Let's talk about the operation. Last couple of weeks before this guy got hurt, the operation was ferocious. They didn't have a holder. The long snapper was in and out. So some of it is on goal. I get that. But let's be fair and balanced. A lot of stuff, the operation we talked about, Joe, you talked about the long snapper. They went through 2 or 3. The guy wasn't spinning laces. So, yes, and now he's coming back off an injury, a quad. So that's a situation. Hopefully the guy is going to get better. So I think that we're going to see, is this guy going to get better? Is he going to have some more opportunities to prove us wrong? I think he will. I just like what Kyle Shanahan, because of that moment, because of the moment and way the thing was working out, I'm not disappointed. I don't think that Kyle Shanahan used the clock to a disadvantage.
Monster Monday brought to you by Benjamin Moore Paints. Paint like no other. And Dolan's Lumber, Doors, and Windows. Jerry Rice set to join us at 8:40 as he does each and every Monday. Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday. I want to get thoughts from the callers as well on this. 888-957-9570. Your thoughts on the Jimmy Garoppolo performance. We do this after every game. You got to grade the quarterback no matter where you are. Today, you're probably grading Dwayne Haskins quite nicely. The Redskins beating the Panthers. Great game management at the end of that game. San Diego, that's what I'm going to call them, turtling up late in that game when they should have been more aggressive. If you look at the FPI and all the data that comes out, poor decision-making there. But when it comes to evaluating the quarterback from yesterday's performance, what did you think of Jimmy Garoppolo? When it was all said and done in the rain, he ends up completing 15 of 21 passes for 165 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions, was sacked twice, had a fumble that led to a touchdown.
I give him a B, and it's mainly for that fumble, because that fumble led to the 7 points that swung the game and ultimately was a big decider in how that game went. The throw, the touchdown pass to Deebo Samuel, that was a gutsy throw. It was a gutsy call, and I would give credit to Deebo for going up and taking it away, but Marcus Peters...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.